If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me to John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. I'll read the previous verse as well. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In verse 36, it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." On July the 4th of 1776, the Declaration of Independence was voted upon by the Second Continental Congress. 4 days later, it was read publicly, I believe, on July the 8th. And when it was read, many of the bells across the land tolled. One of those, as historians say, was the Liberty Bell, which was in Philadelphia. And on that Liberty Bell is inscribed these words out of Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. "Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Freedom. Freedom. This is a great reminder of the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was established. Because men and women have traveled across land and sea that they might have a place where they could worship the Lord according to the dictates of their conscience. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have the liberty to worship our great God? As we turn over to Acts chapter 13, we're going to begin a series today, Lord willing, on the book of Galatians. But before we do that, I want us to see how the Apostle Paul traveled across land and sea that he might allow this great gospel message, the gospel of grace. As he traveled across those places, he had found freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was willing to travel great distances to allow the proclamation of the gospel to say, "Let freedom ring." This man was a man that had been a strong and studied student of the Jewish religion. He had excelled far above many in his day. Paul had opposed the teachings of Jesus. He had hated the cross and he had hated the church and he hated how the church was expanding across the world as he was living in. He had worked hard to imprison people and to eradicate the Christian faith. He was an adamant opponent of what we believe here today. But in AD 34, around that time, the Apostle Paul met King Jesus on the road to Damascus. And that meeting and that encounter has changed the course of history. This man who was an intellectual and a religious rebel against Christianity, he would set the world aflame with this heartfelt, passionate doctrine of Jesus Christ and this daily devotion and worship of this great God in which he had found. He thought that he was on the right track, but God had tracked him down and showed him otherwise. And Paul had been given the revelation of the gospel by Jesus Christ himself. God had commissioned him. He had had this personal encounter and Jesus told him, "Paul, you're going to take the gospel out into the world and you're going to suffer many things for my name's sake." But he said, "Nevertheless, let freedom ring." Do you know that true freedom today is only going to be found in Jesus Christ? He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And he said, "The Son shall make you free indeed." It is he that this world needs. They need the Lord Jesus. Pastor Saeed Abedini, a pastor that's in Iran, his wife had been brought before the United Nations many months ago. And she was to deliver an address about her husband being caught up in prison unjustly for preaching the gospel. And as she stood before them, she had a speech prepared, and she told them before everyone, the whole United Nations, that the greatest one that we need here today is Jesus. He's the one that is able to set us all free. He is the one that's able to make everything just right if we will humble ourselves before the Lordship of Christ. Do you know that as you're gathered here today, you could be set free this very hour if you would only humble yourself and call out to Jesus today. He's able to save you from your sins. The Apostle Paul, after he was saved, he spent many years being a faithful member of the church at Antioch. Let me remind you of that. The Apostle Paul, before he ever went out on a missionary journey, he was a faithful member of the house of the Lord, because he knew that the Lord Jesus was the head of the church and he would be commissioned. It says in the very beginning verses of chapter 13 of Acts, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." They were faithful members of the church at Antioch, and it says, "As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away." Now imagine this, a land that he was going to would be a land of complete darkness in many ways. The Jewish religion had spread and synagogues had been established throughout the known world, but they were not turning to the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, he sets out on a journey. He has been commissioned by the Spirit of God with a message of God. And this man would go and travel by land and sea. And he would travel from Antioch of Syria to the cities of Seleucia and Salamis and Paphos and Perga and Antioch and Pisidia and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And then he would make a back around through those same cities. And he would proclaim, "Let freedom ring." He would go into the synagogues and tell them that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. And he would proclaim, "Let freedom ring." As he went into Antioch and many of them heard the gospel message, there were some jealous Jews that opposed him and they were trying to turn others around. But yet, even in the face of opposition, the Apostle Paul knew that there was a greater freedom that came from on high, and he said, "Let freedom ring." As many of the men and women were trying to come in and poison the minds and turn their hearts against the gospel and against the Apostle Paul, Paul said, "Let freedom ring." As he went over to another city, he was preaching the gospel there, and he was brought out there, and there were many that were saved by the grace of God as he proclaimed that a man has offended God and they must get their hearts right with him. And he said, "But all the grace of God has appeared unto all men, that Jesus Christ has come down." It's not about you getting up to him. It's about believing that he has come down to you and extended grace. And the Apostle Paul was opposed vehemently, and they stoned him to death. And the Bible says that they drug him out of that city, supposing that he was dead. But just as Jesus had been taken down into the grave, because men and women throughout the ages have wanted to silence the gospel, they have tried they tried to silence Jesus because he preached the gospel. He said, today, as he was standing in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, it says that he went in there and he brought out the book Isaiah and he read from that and he said, let me proclaim liberty to the captives that are in distress. Let me proclaim a freedom to them that are poor and them that are bruised and them that are bound up. And it said they let him out of the city and they were ready to throw him over the cliff, but he escaped out of the way. Well, the Apostle Paul found himself down in the dust and down in the ashes, but the power of God, as he had been stoned and left there for dead, I believe it might have been in that moment that he said, I was caught up into the third heaven and I saw things that were too unutterable. I couldn't even speak of them. He got right back up and he went back into that city with the same message. Let freedom ring. Do you believe that the gospel of the Lord Jesus teaches us that there is freedom in the Lord? There is freedom in the truth. The shackles and chains of sin can be removed. The past that is like 1,000 suitcases that we travel around here, the burden, the weight of sin, it can be removed and you can travel lightly. You can have peace in your soul because Jesus came to bring peace. He went to the cross. The Apostle Paul recounted that the freedom that he proclaimed, it did not come without a cost. And he says over in the Corinthian letter, he says, 2 Corinthians 11:24-28, he says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He went on to say that thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the heathen. In perils of the city. In perils of the wilderness. In perils of the sea. In the perils of false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, and that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Whether the Apostle Paul was being stoned, imprisoned, floating in the ocean, preaching the gospel to crowds of people, or whatever his case, he says, there is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. The brethren in the church of Jerusalem said that of Paul and Barnabas they had hazarded their lives because it was Jesus who won the victory. It was Jesus that laid his life down on the cross, paying the ultimate sacrifice for my sin and your sin that we might be set free. Paul, as he went in to the city of Antioch, I believe, in verse 14 of Acts chapter 13, he says, but when they departed from Persia, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Oh, what an opportunity to let freedom ring. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. He told them that this God had called Abraham out. God was preparing for himself a people. Do you know that today God is bringing out people from every nation and tribe and tongue? He has ordained a people for Himself. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord and to be among His people, to be of the seed of Abraham? Because it's not by natural descent. It's by what was taught in the Sunday school room over here. It's through saving faith that we are brought into this covenant that God had promised with Abraham. We are made the seed of Abraham. And we inherit every promise that He gave to him. He goes on to say that this people was carried down into Egypt. I'll tell you, Jesus today, I want to share four brief things with you. Jesus today is our redemption. He is our redemption. He is not only our redemption, but as we'll look down here in a little bit, He'll say that it is through this man Jesus that you can have the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is our reconciliation. As Paul later down in the same chapter, he said that he encouraged them and persuaded them to remain and continue in the grace of God. Do you know that Jesus Christ today is our rest? And as many as were there that they were opposed, the gospel was opposed, but there were some that believed and there were some that found this great freedom, this great treasure in the Lord. And I'll tell you that today Jesus is our rejoicing. It says that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now how can you say that I'm filled with joy when others are opposing and when others are disbelieving and when others want to run away? I'll tell you that there's joy that is not found in this world. You can go searching like Ponce de Leon for the fountain of youth all around the world, but even if he could have found it, he would have had a minimal joy compared to finding that fountain of living waters that we could take a drink from, that could make us new every single day. And I'll tell you that He's going to make all things new one day. He's going to give us a brand new body. He's going to make all things new. We're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to see gates of pearl. And I'll tell you, even in that city, that's not going to be the sight to see. It's going to be the glory of God that reflects on all those things as we see the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Because as Paul preached to them there about them escaping out of Egypt, it was really about a Passover lamb. It was about a lamb that had to be slain and the blood had to be applied to the doorpost of that house. And when he said, "I see the blood, I will pass over you." I'll tell you, that night, those that didn't have the blood applied to their doorpost, every firstborn child in those homes, they were dead, every single one of them. And there was great mourning, but every home and those Jewish families that had blood applied to them, they saw there was power in the blood. You know, there's power in the blood today. There's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Today, I wish if you were lost here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, that you would come and get under the healing stream of the blood of Christ, because He's able to set you free. He's able to wash you white as snow. You might say, "Preacher, you don't know all the things I've done. You don't know the trouble I've caused or the sin I've created or anything like that." I tell you, it doesn't matter how far off you've gone, the Lord Jesus is able to wash away every single stain. The Apostle Paul went in there, and this is a message that he preached: "Let freedom ring. May we stand on this gospel of grace, that God shows no partiality. Whosoever will, let him come in the house of the Lord and hear this glorious message." I pray that we allow this message to be shouted from the housetops, that God would give the boldness and the courage of His men to stand and preach His word, because this world is needing to know King Jesus. There are people that are offended all over the place for so many different reasons. Political reasons, economic reasons, social reasons. Let me remind you, there's a God in heaven who is offended against our sin. But He is proclaiming through His word and through His church, as He has commissioned her to take this gospel to the world, that even though He is offended, there is a way to be redeemed. There is a way to be reconciled through the blood of His cross. There's a way to have forgiveness of sin if only we would humble ourselves down and call out to Him. He is willing to abundantly pardon our transgressions and our sins. God is about redeeming a people, about buying them off the slave market of sin. And there's not a one of us that deserve to have those chains removed that we might follow after another master, the good master of heaven, the good shepherd. But yet He still, out of His love, He tracked me down as I was on the auction block, and I was just giving myself over to the lust of my flesh and the pride of life and the desires of what I saw in this world. And He said, I want that one right there. And oh, the melting of my heart, the conviction of the sin that I had done throughout my life. But He said, I will take Him right there. And He saved my soul as I called out to Him in faith. He gave me the repentance. He gave me the faith. He gave me this glorious salvation that if I'm stripped of everything in this world, there is one thing that no man can strip me of. They might strip me of my clothes. They might strip me of my bank account. They might even strip me of my Bible. But I tell you, they will not strip me of the glorious salvation that God has brought to my soul. Glory to God. Praise God for the glorious salvation He has given to us. Oh, thank you, God, for what you have done. May we arise as a church and stand on the glorious promises of God. He has brought redemption. He has brought reconciliation. I'll tell you, He can bring rest to your soul. He said as He ended up this sermon, I'll encourage you to read on about this sermon. He said, I want you to encourage you to continue in the grace of God. All I have is the grace of God. That's all I have. That's all I have. I'm just a poor country boy that none of you half know where I came from. But I tell you, God knew exactly where I was. He knew the family I was in. He knew that little country church where I heard the gospel and I ran from God for so many years. But thank you, God, for tracking me down to Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you, God, for giving me a message upon my heart. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be a pastor of a church. Because who am I to do such a work? Who am I to stand and proclaim a message from the King of Glory? But He called me to do it, and I've got to do it. I've got to do it till the day that I die. And I don't know what I might face. I don't know what I might come against. But the same message that Paul preached, the same trouble that came to him, the same suffering, the same persecution, he kept preaching it. They shut him in prison. He wrote letters. They tried to silence him by stoning him and knocking him in the mouth. But yet he got back up and he kept preaching. Oh, that God would have mercy on his people today. May He raise us up. May He help us to see that all we have is the grace of God. I don't know what might come our way. I don't know what might happen tomorrow. I don't know what might happen in a year if we continue to follow down the slippery slope of sin. But I tell you, there is a God who redeems. There is a God who reconciles. And there is God that can give rest to this land if only we would seek Him. He's able to do that. And today Jesus is our rejoicing. He's our rejoicing. Thank God for the liberty that He gives to us. I thank God for the liberty He's given me this morning that I struggled this week. I was asking God to have mercy on me and help me as I studied, because I get tired and weary as I share this message over and over, day by day. And I say, Lord, I haven't felt like I got anywhere this week. I felt like I hadn't got any studied, and I got anywhere to where I need to be. But I've been praying. I've been asking the Lord to help me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping me. I can see why they call Paul a fool. He looked like a fool, but oh, the power of God and the gospel. I don't know if you know what I feel, but I tell you, I know what I feel, and I tell you, God is good this morning. Oh, how we might be liberated from this way that we think church has got to go. It's got to be stuffy, and it's got to be nice, and everything's got to be just right. We need to get our hearts right with God. We need to seek His face and do what He wants us to do, and don't worry about what anybody says. We must stand up for what is right and what is true. And that is not hate speech. That is just walking it out in humility. That if we truly love people the way we need to love them, we will sing and we will proclaim, let freedom ring. The Liberty Bell, the gospel. You know the one up in Philadelphia has got a crack in it and they threw it in a museum. You know, I think sometimes the gospel in some churches has got a crack in it and they've thrown it off into some museum and the gospel is collecting dust. But I tell you, the Liberty Bell of the gospel from heaven, it's going to toll and it's going to toll and it's going to toll until that trumpet sound. And he says, go and get my children. Oh, may we let this world know that freedom is ringing from the church house. It may not ring from other church houses around here, but may it be at this place, because this is the only place that I know that I'm responsible for and you're responsible for. And if we're all getting our hearts right, we'll all be saying, thank you, God. We'll be joined hand in hand with other brothers and sisters in the Lord, because it's coming down to a point is, do you really know Jesus? Do you really know Him? Because some of the, even the denominational things, those things, they're important. They tell us what doctrines we stand upon, but I tell you, there's going to come a day perhaps that, do you really know Him? Are you walking it out? Are you showing? I tell you, I love my Christian brethren wherever they are. If they're walking with the Lord Jesus, there's going to be a link. There's going to be a link up with them. Paul says here, as he was wrapping up this sermon, and he said that because many of the Jews were rejecting the gospel at that time, he said, we'll turn to the Gentiles. And it says in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Throughout all the region. You know, Paul couldn't do that by himself. I believe the church got on fire. I believe they said, there's one that we found freedom in that our preacher's voice can't hold out long enough. We've got to use our voices too. We've got to stand up for the truth. We've got to teach them that Jesus is our redemption. He's our reconciliation. Because how else can you combine God's holiness and man's sinfulness except by the cross? He is able to reconcile us and He's able to extend forgiveness to all sin. He's our rest. For many years, I thought that I could work myself up to God based on church attendance, based on being a deacon's son, based on filling in as a song leader and reading my Bible on occasion, praying ever so often, and trying to depend on morality. But when I got to the bottom of Jacob's ladder, and I realized that it wasn't me climbing up it that was going to get me anywhere, but if that was the Lord that would come down to me, oh, the rest of knowing that all I had to do was turn from my sin and believe Jesus did it all. He did it. I'll tell you, I had peace and rest, and I still have it. And I have a joy. He says in verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. You know, Paul was preaching, let freedom ring. They said, we don't want you to be anywhere near us. In verse 51, he said, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is our joy. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you know that if we get sour based on the happenings of today, then we're not looking in the right place. Did everybody hear me? If we get sour and bitter over the happenings of today, and we don't allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength, we're going to be just like the rest of the world. They're sour. They've been sipping on persimmon juice and not on the sweet wine of the gospel. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. I would figure that church attendance is down this morning in many places. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. I would say that probably last night there was a lot of people getting intoxicated. And the world may ring in the freedom with some fireworks and with some beer. But you know what? All that's going to run out. And the salt of this nation is in the house of the Lord. The substance is right here. May we share the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what we may face, there is joy in Jesus. You may be filled with great heartaches today at this hour. You may be lost in your sin. I tell you, you can have joy in Jesus. You may be facing trials and troubles that you never imagined that you would face today. But there is joy in Jesus. Paul would later write back to this church, and Lord willing, as we look in the book of Galatians, he would later write back to this church, the entire book of Galatians, he would tell them and warn them that that gospel I preached to you at the beginning, they were starting to drift away from it. And he was fired up about it. He wrote a whole letter correcting them on what the gospel was all about. And Lord willing, in the coming weeks, if you'll pray for me, I'll study. And we'll see what the Apostle Paul had to say to that church, those churches that were going astray. Because the gospel of grace is our proclamation. And if we get it wrong, then freedom will not ring out. But if we have it right, according to the Word of God, just as that Liberty Bell says, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. There needs to be a sound from the house of the Lord that goes out to these various regions around us. May God help us. May God bless His church. May He help Bethlehem Church stand true and stand firm on the gospel of grace. That Jesus is our redemption, our reconciliation, our rest, and our rejoicing. If you're here today and you don't know Him, I plead with you to consider Jesus. He is your only hope. As we get a song and sing, let's stand.